Okay, hello. We're in Psalm 3. We'll do Psalm 3 through 10 today. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your holy word, we pray your blessing on it. We pray you give us real insight and help it be another avenue to know you. And Lord, I pray you'd bless this. I don't know how this is going to work, and I don't want to have to do it twice. So, Lord, I pray you'd bless to that in this, iPad and everything else. And in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, it's a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. It's my thinking that Psalm 3, 4, and 5 are all about the same event, and I'll show you why I think that is as we go along. But Psalm 3 certainly is, because it says so above the verse 1. I say again, these notes are scripture. They're not just someone doodling in the margins of his Bible. Think about this. It's David fleeing from Absalom. That's chronicled in 2 Samuel chapters 13 through 15. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Okay, we're familiar with this because of the song. But let's just get into it a little bit. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me, many that rise up against me? Absalom is risen up against him to kill him. This isn't just a misunderstanding we can walk back. Yeah, I'm mad at you, Dad. No, he's trying to take his life and trying to take his throne. And he's got many with him. Ahithophel, notably, but an army also. Many are they that rise up against me. And many are they that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Why? Because some people delude themselves and think that God's on their team when God's not on their team. And God certainly is departed from David. Why? Because he's an adulterer. So this is Absalom's case. After his brother rapes his sister Tamar, he waits and waits for David to take care of things and for justice to happen, but it never happens. And so he's thinking, well, yeah, God can't judge my brother for being a rapist because Dad's an adulterer. And so he makes his case against David, and certainly God's not with him because he's an adulterer and a murderer besides. Perhaps he knew of these events. To what degree, we don't exactly know. So there's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. The word shield is Mogan, like Mogan David, the famous six-pointed star. Thou art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. And this is the second time we read the word Selah, which is introduced here first time in the Psalms. Selah, it means to lift up, and some people think it's like a rest, a musical rest, or a stop. And there are musical directions throughout some of these psalms. But I think it's stop and think about what was just said, or perhaps it connects one section to the next section. So stop and think about this. It's kind of the idea. I laid me down and I slept. So this is a song for the morning. He gets up in the morning and he's recounting the events. He had a good night's sleep. Why? I waked for the Lord sustained me. God's giving sleep to his people. It's a precious thing. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. You feel like you got to say that twice because of the song. Why aren't you going to be afraid of 10,000 people? Hey, God's on my team. We should figure that out. I don't know how many people are set themselves against you. I have an idea. It may seem like 10,000, but it's probably less. If you're going to live godly, people are going to set themselves against you. Write it down. Count the cost. Full speed ahead. Rise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Divine right cross, obviously. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. The word salvation, you would know it, it's Yeshua. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Again, Selah. Okay, Psalm 4. It's an evening psalm, and I think it's over the same matter, okay? But I can't prove it, but I suppose that in my own thinking, that's how I think about it. Let's just jump in. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear me when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And of course, an evening psalm is just a Bible note. But to the chief musician on Neginoth, the Psalm of David, gee, I don't know if I read that, by the way. Neginoth is a stringed instrument, just for your edification. Okay, we know it's a Psalm of David again. It's to the chief musician. Hear me when I call my God, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon him, my prayer. Now he's addressing people. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Now, leasing has nothing to do with how you procure your automobile. The word leasing there means lying. It's just one of those King James words that it change over time. Again, we have the Selah. But know, he's instructing these sons of men, know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. What does it mean to be godly? It means to love God, to be on the same page as God, to love the things of God. Does it mean perfection? No, this is from the lips of an adulterer, a murderer. He has repented at this time, certainly. But we're not talking about, you know, if you wait around for sinless perfection before you start serving the Lord, nobody would serve him, including me, maybe especially me. the Lord has set apart him as godly for himself. And with that in mind, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Process that. Think it all the way through. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. That's why we call it an evening psalm. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? You know, that's kind of sounds like you, sounds like me. When God's not answering our prayer in the fashion and in the time that we think that he should. So we feel very deserted. Well, David feels this way. People feel this way. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Gladness during the time of Absalom's rebellion, that God is with him, that he hears the prayer of the godly. When he was in distress, he enlarged him. He put him in a large place is the idea. He's not between a rock and a hard place. He's not, distress here is more than just, I'm having a bad hair day. It's anguish of soul. And when I was in distress, you put me in a large place is kind of the idea. You put gladness in my heart. I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, O Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Okay, Psalm 5, again, is a very famous psalm. To the chief musician upon Nehaloth, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into the house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous, and favor wilt thou compass him as with the shield. Okay, again, it's to the chief musician, many of the psalms are. Nehaloth is like a flute. And I think this is probably about Absalom as well, and I'll show you that as we go along. First he cries, give ear to, and it's a morning prayer again. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. Familiar words to us because of the Maranatha music song that it is. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. I think morning's not the only time to pray, but I think it's one of the most important times because it sets your day in order. I mean, if you don't get it done in the morning, I think a lot of times we just don't get it done. I don't have like a lot of morning time. I get up at 4:30 in the morning right now to go to work, and I leave the house about 4:45. And I have to be at work at 6 o'clock, and it's over an hour drive. So I listen to my Bible, and I prayerfully is in my Bible. Then I have some prayer time and, you know, kind of get set. And of course, while I'm in the house, you know, brushing my teeth and, you know, doing what you got to do to get ready, dressing and all, it doesn't take a lot of thought. So it's usually prayer time as well. It's not a extended prayer time because of just the way my life is right now. But it's prayer time nonetheless, and I think it's kind of important. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Pretty self-explanatory. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. Again, that's lying. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Is he talking about Absalom? The one who's leasing? Yes. The bloody and deceitful man? Yes. I think so. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple. He's on the run, but he knows that he's going to be because of the promise that Nathan gave him when he set up the kingdom, that he'll be restored. He knows that's going to be his son after him, not Absalom, the scoundrel, but the one that God would put in his place. So he's saying, I'm going to come into the house of the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. That sounds like Absalom, very Absalonian, Absalom-ish. I don't know. It sounds like Absalom to me. They flatter with their tongue. That's exactly what he did. He stood at the gates and he took the hearts of the men of Israel away from David, his father. That's very satanic. That's what Satan does. He flatters and he steals the heart of people away from the person God has ordained in their life to guide them, whether it be me or any man of God or just the people around you that God has, that are helping you walk in a godly way. Satan's not ambivalent about that. So he'll put the flatterer in your way and try to lead you off the path that you should go, no matter what that looks like. Their throat's an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. And, you know, this is such a picture of Absalom as he promised these people things he couldn't possibly deliver. And he gave them all these, you know, assurances that, oh, yeah, it's going to be great when I'm king and all this happy stuff. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. How they rebel against God? By rebelling against God's man, the anointed of God, is David is. And he's calling on them to be destroyed. He doesn't want Absalom destroyed with the idea of dead, but he wants his kingdom back, and he wants his throne back, and he wants his son back. Oh God, let them fall by their own counsels. You can almost, it's kind of a veiled prayer against Ahithophel, very specifically. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Why? Because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. In God, in Christ, there's joy, happiness, true happiness, peace, joy. Outside. But thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield? There's that Morgan again. Okay, let's just jump into Psalm 6. Boy, we're making 20 minutes in, we're making great headway here, okay? I want to do 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So we got we've done 3. We've got a long way to go, but it will go fast. I'm trying to keep these somewhat less than an hour, you know what I mean? I'm trying like 40, 45 minutes is kind of what I'm aiming for. Okay, to the chief musician on Neginoth, upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee, in the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning, all the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears, my eyes consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all thy enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. It's pretty straightforward. Neginoth here means, this is by way of a penitential psalm. Is it the penitential psalm like Psalm 51, the same matter? I'm speaking specifically of David and Bathsheba. No, it doesn't have to be. He's probably sinned more than once in his life. I mean, but okay, Neginoth is, we already talked about that. But Sheminith is an eighth. Is that like a musical direction? Okay, play this musical instrument, but sing like an octave, an eighth. You know, who knows? Because there's things there that we just don't, you know, really understand. But it's a penitential psalm. Repentance is always in season when you've done something wrong. And the sooner you get right with God, the sooner your life gets put on the tracks again, the sooner you can have purpose, the sooner you can have service to the Lord, the sooner you can have fellowship, the sooner the rest of us are going to be able to stand you. When you're just out of sorts with God, you're out of sorts with everybody. You see that, right? And so much of the time, we're just our pride, you know, that's stopping us from repenting, because we have to admit we were wrong. And that's the part I think our pride doesn't like. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, Lord, for I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. Does being out of sorts with God have a physical component? Very, very often. So you're sick, you're out of sorts with God because you've sinned. I'm not saying that. And anyone who's heard me for a long time knows I'm not saying that. So you have a runny nose. We know that you're considering adultery. No. What we know is that we're in a fallen world, and things like, you know, somebody sneezes on you and they have a sickness. You can get that sickness. We get that. But very often when we're out of sorts with God, our bodies are out of sorts as well. Very often that's just the case. We're not your judge. And we're gonna look at you and say, oh, this is how it is. But it is possible. And I think, like, you know, when I'm sick, I also it's a time to think and to you know, for self reflection, to make sure that everything is good between me and God. I am weak, heal me, my bones are vexed, my soul is also sore. See, there's a soul and physical connection there. My soul is also sore, vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? And how often have you prayed that prayer? How long, Lord? It's many places in the Psalms. Because, Lord, how long? He's never late. But he doesn't work on our time schedule either. And we probably have to figure that out sooner or later. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O save me for thy mercy's sake. For thy mercy's sake, why? For in death there is no remembrance to thee in the grave. Who shall give thee thanks? I don't think this is a very good idea concerning death, because they always have an incomplete thought about death. And Jesus comes, and you remember when he's talking to Martha? Yeah, I know he'll rise in the resurrection. And Jesus had to point out to her, hey, you're talking to the resurrection. There's more instruction as we go along, you know, in Scripture. And if he's talking about, for in death there is no remembrance of thee, that's not true whether you have eternal life or eternal separation from God. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? Well, we don't live in the grave. Once you pass away, there is thanksgiving to God. I think it's one of your chief occupations in eternity. I am weary with my groaning all the night. Make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Wow, that's pretty sad. And of course, the language here is very colorful all through the Psalms. My eyes consume because of grief. It waxeth old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Okay, the first of the penitential psalms. Psalm 7. Okay. Shigion of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it, yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth, and lay my honor in the dust, Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. Excuse me. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about for their sakes, therefore return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine iniquity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword, he hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Because he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and hath brought forth falsehood, he made a pit and digged it and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Oh, it ends there. I got ready to turn the page. Okay, Cush the Benjamite he's a Benjamite. So he was a servant of Saul, and he's one of these stood around waiting for David to slip up, and then ran and reported it to Saul. and probably lied about it because David's not one to slip up. He had a chance to kill Saul twice, and both times he let it slide by the boards without raising a hand against him, saying, I'm not going to lay a hand against God's anointed. We'll let God deal with him. Would to God that Absalom felt the same way. Isn't it funny? Because David, you think like what goes around comes around. That's not exactly true. I mean, sometimes this divine justice happens that way. But David didn't kill Saul, and he had opportunity. And some would argue that he should have. David was being hunted by Saul, and Saul was trying to kill him. And David did nothing to Absalom to get him to try to kill him, but Absalom didn't have any compunctions against laying his hand against God's anointed. So this is Cush the Benjamite goes and reports to Saul and probably gets money for his effort or a place in the kingdom. Shigeon is to wonder and cry aloud is what it means there. And the he of verse 2, lest he tear my soul like a lion, I believe is Saul, obviously. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all of them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he, again, see Saul, tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. And he says in verse 3, Lord, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is my enemy, well then what I'm getting is what I deserve. And then he goes on to say, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Selah. Think about that. If there is iniquity in my hands, if I've rewarded him, you know, evil for evil, but God knows that David has rewarded him good for evil, and David can cite that. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it down. Let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust, Selah. If, and the big word is if, I have done any of these things to deserve this. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of my enemies. Awake for me to the judgment thou hast commanded. This is God's word that he would become king. At this point, he's already anointed king. He's not reigning king. So we look at Saul and Saul's usurper king. He's not supposed to be reigning. David's supposed to be reigning. And so David's kind of getting to the place there, Lord, judgment, okay? It's what you've commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to mine integrity that is in me. We can call on God for judgment, but remember, we don't really want judgment. What we want is mercy. And above that, what we want is grace. He's saying, I'm not guilty in this matter. Fair enough. I don't think he's saying, Lord, examine my life from top to bottom and see if there's any problems ever. He will in other psalms say stuff like that. Let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Establish the just. So it's about time for a regime change, I think is what the prayer is here. Establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. He's got a promise to become king, so he feels like he's 10-foot tall and bulletproof. I agree with him. And he knows he doesn't have to worry about Saul. Again, two times he's had the opportunity to kill him. Is Saul going to be triumphant at last and be able to kill David? No, my defense is of God. And again, that's one of those things. That's why we're not afraid of 10,000s of people who, you know, set themselves against me round about. Why? Because my defense is of God. God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. If you're wicked, you should get righteous. by repenting, to coming to faith in Jesus Christ, because God is mad at you every single day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Boy, I'd get right in a hurry. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity. He works with iniquity. And hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. That's divine retribution, as I was speaking of before. Pharaoh wants to drown Hebrew babies, and his whole army is drowned. Who's on Haman's gallows? He makes it for Mordecai. Who's the first to hang on his gallows? Well, he is. Divine retribution. This is where I say, what goes around comes around. Well, sometimes that's true. Look at it again. He hath prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordained his arrows against his persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head. He tried to pin David to a wall with his javelin, right? And he ends up falling on his own sword. So there's some divine retribution there. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High, a good word always. Okay, we come to Psalm 8. Psalm 8 is one of these special ones. We all know it, or at least parts of it, and it's famous. It's quoted several times in the New Testament. Okay, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Okay, Psalm 8. Gittith means a wine press. What? Is it a vintage psalm? Pun intended. Or does it have anything to do with it at all? Or is it also the name of a musical instrument? It's a nature psalm. It's one of five nature psalms. We don't worship Gaia, the goddess of the earth. We worship God, and he made the heavens and the earth. You know, people talk about this cathedral out in the woods. I understand. I go hunting too, and I'm mesmerized is probably not a too strong a word. And also, I'm very close to God when I'm about his out in nature. You know, we're all there's sunrises and sunsets and rainbows and mountains and streams, and there's beauty enough all around us that we're always at a place of just awe when God is showing us nature. I'm not against that the idea of the cathedral of the woods. You should enjoy that Sunday morning. We need you. There's something, I don't understand why people don't understand that, you know, every ligament, every joint is, you're part of a whole. You're, when you're not there, we're limping. We're not all that we should be. And people don't think about that. So, I'm going fishing. Well, I'm not against fishing. Consider God, consider the people of God first. It's also a messianic psalm. Why does it say that? Jesus quotes it of himself, and it's quoted in the New Testament as a messianic psalm. Jesus quotes this after he cleanses the temple, if you remember in Matthew, I want to say 21. You can check me on that. So let's jump in. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Just beautiful language. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. That's what Jesus quotes. Because of thine enemies, and thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you know, we say that. One little baby's cry, and 40 years later, 80 years later, Egypt comes to its knees out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. And you think of, young Samuel, you know, brought a nation to repentance and, you know, etc. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. My wife is she's a heavens freak. She loves looking at the stars. She always knows about the phases of the moon. She, you know, looks for the bright morning star. She's, you know, always... I think it was Emerson. Emerson who said, you know, if the stars came out only once every 100 years, we'd all look at them all night long. That's all we'd do. But the problem is they're so daily that, you know, the tendency is to take them for granted. But it's the work of thy fingers. You know, salvation is God's right hand. It's his arm work, the arm of the Lord. But creation, it's his finger work. It's just like, you know, there you go, stars, kind of thing, you know. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Big words. What's this all about, Lord? Who are we that you take such delight in us? You know, it's kind of the idea. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, as crowned him with glory and honor. Now, we're told today that we're a little higher than the animals, but that's not what the word says. The Bible says that we're made a little lower than the angels. At this time, we're going to judge angels, and angels are giving as ministering spirits for us. But right now, we're a little lower than the angels as we are in the grand scheme of things. We're not just a little higher than the animals, you know, it just... We're just some goo that was in a puddle that was struck by lightning, mix in 14 billion years, and here we are, okay? The things that some people will believe. But the word says you've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. Amazing. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, that thou hast put all things under his feet. That's quoted several times in the New Testament. Do we have dominion over Satan and over his falling angelic host? Yes, we do. God has put all things under our feet. We had dominion. We lost dominion. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man. We had the whole thing going, and then it went sideways, okay? But now he's put all things under our feet, the sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. I want to just stop briefly here and talk about the paths of the sea. His name was Matthew Fontaine Murray. He's the father of oceanography. And his when he was sick, his daughter was reading to him The Paths of the Sea. In time, he became the head of, I don't know, the whole Navy, or some part where he had ships keeping careful logs, and he put all things together, and he came up with this Pathways of the Sea. Again, he's considered the father of oceanography because he believed his Bible. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And that's an excellent ending to that case. Psalm 9. To the chief musician upon Muth Laban, a psalm of David. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them, but the Lord hath endured forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in righteousness. The Lord also will judge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid, is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgion, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Okay, to the chief musician upon Muth Laban means death coming to one between. Nobody knows what it has to do with this psalm. And I don't either. it doesn't seem to have any bearing on the psalm whatsoever. He's going to praise God with his whole heart, show his marvelous works, be glad and rejoice, sing praise. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. What throne are we talking about? I think he's talking about the millennial kingdom. I think this is a kingdom psalm. And I'll show you why as we go along. Thou hast rebuked the heavens. That sounds post-revelation. Thou hast rebuked the heavens. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. Okay, this seems like it's after revelation. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. Thou hast destroyed cities. Again, sounds post-revelation. Their memorial has perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. It sounds very millennial. He shall minister judgment to the people in righteousness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them. Seek thee, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. That reminds us of Isaiah chapter 12. He dwelleth in Zion. I say, and I think I'm right on this, when he's talking about Zion, it's code always for the kingdom. And here he is. He's the Lord. He's dwelling in Zion. It's talking about his throne. When he maketh inquisition for blood, wait a second, what inquisition for blood? That doesn't sound, it means investigation of guilt, blood guiltiness. When he is doing his CSI work, he remembereth them, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. You see, so somebody's killed one of my relatives or something. Well, God doesn't, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Retribution will be here. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praises. In the gates of the daughter of Zion I will rejoice in salvation. Salvation certainly has come to the daughter of Zion. And Zion again there. Code for millennial kingdom, I think so. Back in verse 13, have mercy upon me, Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. This people hating in the tribulation, I mean in the millennial kingdom, of course. There's still people, and people are people. Every man will be under his vine, under his fig tree, but there's not, nobody's going to stop hating. And it goes on, the heathen has sunk down the pit that they made in the net which they hid in their own, is their own foot taken. Again, that's that divine retribution we talk about. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgion, Selah, think about that. The wicked shall be turned into hell, all the nations that forget God. I think it's still talking about like future tense here, because if you know in your order of events, the great white throne judgment hasn't happened yet. The wicked shall be turned into hell, all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail, let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Okay. Chapter 10, last one. It's a plea for God's judgment. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in their devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. His judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I will never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit, and fraud under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, but the poor, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite. To requite it in thy hand, the poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked, and the evil man seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, and the man of the earth may no more oppress. Okay, this is it's pretty straightforward. He's calling it first, why are you standing far off, Lord? Why are you hiding yourself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride, he's persecuting the poor. He's, okay, verse 3, the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Verse 4, God is not in all his thoughts. The problem of the wicked isn't their intellect, it's their pride. And no matter how intellectual atheists are, it's still a question of pride each and every time. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. You say somebody who doesn't believe in God, it's a pride thing. It's always a pride thing. His ways are always grievous. He said in his heart in verse 6, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Wrong. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the village and the secret places. Does he murder the innocent? Right? He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth, he humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. Because he has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Wrong. And so the prayer is, Arise, O Lord, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He has said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. But here's where it turns. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked. Again, it's imprecatory prayer. And the evil man, seek out his wickedness till thou find none. In other words, stamp it out all the way to the nth degree. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. That sounds millennial too. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thy ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may know. No more oppressed. Man of the earth is like earth dwellers in Revelation. They're the ultimate losers. Okay. We bit off a big chunk, but we got through it. Let's pray. Father, we want to have this study as a gateway to knowing you. We found out, Lord, already tonight that you're creator of all things. Lord, you bring the wicked short in their own snares. You capture them, Lord. You're a defender of the fatherless and the poor and the widow. And Lord, at the end of the day, all things will come right. And we're happy to be yours, Lord, as we stay in a place of humility and we repent when we've sinned, Lord. You hear our prayer and you're concerned with us and you care about us and you deliver us out of all our, evil snares that men have devised against us. And Lord, we just thank and praise you for being a good God, for being a good Father. Lord, bless these words to our knowledge, to our edification, to our faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace.